Now we're going to meet a group of people who arrived in the Northwest with visions of creating a whole new city in the middle of the Oregon desert. They would describe themselves as a religion. Many have called them a cult. They were followers of an enigmatic Indian guru named Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. The followers of the Bhagwan, known as Sinyasins, are chronicled in a new Netflix documentary series called Wild Wild Country.
Those who were at the ranch tend to share a bond. So maybe like going through war together or something, you know? You share a bond of having gone through an extremely intense experience. Love.
In the early 1980s, the Oregonian newspaper out of Portland covered the Sinyasins' arrival at Big Muddy Ranch. Reporter Les Zeitz followed its transformation into a full-fledged city.
You had a medical clinic, you had a fire department, you had a police department, they had their own airline with DC-3s coming and going, they had a disco, they had sports courts, they had three or four different types of restaurants, they had a transportation system. It was a bustling little metropolis out there.
The story Zeitz was covering quickly transformed from a curiosity into an epic drama, complete with massive fraud, betrayal, and plots to commit murder. Even Zeitz himself was told that he was a marked man. And behind it all was a figure that loomed even larger than the guru himself, Ma Anand Sheela. Les Zeitz told us about her when we reached him by Skype.
So Sheela grew up in what would in India be considered a privileged family. In a city called Baroda. She eventually migrated down to Bombay, where Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh was gathering his fame and his flock. She became enamored with him and with his organization, and eventually worked her way into becoming his personal secretary, which really meant she became his chief of staff. And then from her perch as chief of staff, she engineered the flight from India to wind up in Oregon.
What did that mean exactly? What kind of responsibilities did she have, and what was her role on the commune?
Well, she was in charge. This was it had turned into a multi-million dollar global enterprise. It was moving vast sums of money and vast numbers of people, and Sheela was in charge of it all.
This is how everything in Rajneeshpuram functioned. Bhagwan said something to me, I said yes. I said something to the people, they said yes.
Our religion is probably the only religion which has synthesized capitalism and religion together.
And what were some of the things that were going on behind the scenes that were invisible from the outside and maybe not even clear at the time to you?
Well, as we now know, it developed at the top into a tremendous criminal enterprise. You had, as we know, widespread immigration fraud. In other words, they were bringing in wealthy sannyasins from around the world, marrying them up with American citizens to award them citizenship and allow them to stay in the country. You had these efforts to overwhelm the political structure by increasingly more dangerous approaches. This is what led to the poisoning of 10 salad bars in a town called the Dalles, where sannyasins very deliberately went into the restaurants and sprinkled salmonella on the salad bars. And at least 750 people were taken deathly ill by this stunt. This was a dry run to see if they could suppress voter turnout enough to let their numbers overwhelm local voters, so to speak, and take control of a county. To blunt the investigations that were unfolding against them, they put together a list of people that they targeted for assassination. That included very active plans to assassinate the then United States attorney who was handling the immigration and federal charges, the Oregon attorney general who was investigating the conflation of religion and state that was represented by the creation of the city of Rajneeshpuram, and then people like myself, people who were just asking questions and not taking a no for an answer.
So obviously you made it out okay. But
how, I lost the bullet, yes.
Yeah, but how far did some of these assassination plots actually get?
Two of them got fairly advanced. One of them was against the guru's personal doctor, Swami Devaraj, a gentleman from England. He was actually stabbed with a poisoned ring and felled with poison and came very close to dying. He was considered an opponent to Srila within the organization, and he had the guru's ear, so he was considered a threat on the inside. On the outside, they went so far on the plot to assassinate the U.S. attorney that they sent two sannyasins to Texas to buy guns to bring back that couldn't be traced. And at one point, apparently, were quite close to putting their plan into play to shoot him to death in a downtown parking garage.
So what was her ultimate downfall? How did this end for her in Oregon?
Well, the external pressures and the internal pressures set in motion events that led to the collapse of the commune. Srila understood that this empire was crumbling and that she was in substantial legal exposure. So she and a handful of her top lieutenants fled Oregon, went overseas, and hid in Germany for quite some time. As the investigations wrapped up, the indictments came down. Oregon and federal authorities found her in Germany, arrested her, brought her back. She pleaded guilty, served like 2.5 years in a federal prison in California, and then after that went overseas and hasn't been back since.
But that wasn't the last you saw of her, right?
No.
Can you describe the meeting that you had with her, I guess, decades later?
Well, fast forward to 2011. I'm at the Oregonian. It's the 25th anniversary of the collapse of the commune. And I decided to see if Srila would talk at all about those early days in Oregon. I tracked her down to a small city in Switzerland, about 2 hours outside of Zurich, where she now owns and manages two elderly group care homes, which is hard to imagine. In any event, Srila consented to me coming over and talking with her. I traveled over there, drove out across the Swiss countryside, drove up to the group home, and Srila came out and welcomed me like a long-lost friend. It was a very pleasant reacquaintance, as it were. She had aged. I had aged. It was all very cordial. On my last night there, we went to a dinner in Germany, and I finally got around to asking the question that I had been burning to ask her since I got there. I turned to her and said, Srila, before we go, because we were pretty much done, I said, I just have to ask you, why did you put me on the hit list? And she got to smile and just very quietly laughed and said, oh, you were never on any hit list. And that was all she would say about it.
Do you believe her?
No, I do not.
Les Zeitz covered the Rajneeshi commune for the Oregonian in the 1980s. These days, he lives on a ranch and publishes a weekly newspaper in Central Oregon. Sweet little Srila, Matanan Srila, you're the Bhagwan's right-hand gal. Big mouth Srila, Matanan Srila, you should take the silence vow. And special thanks to Scott Harris for sharing this rare archival recording.